It's time for Let's Talk Legal with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell and Collins. If you have a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now at 252-222-4848.
And let's talk legal. Let's welcome Cecil Harvell. He's on the phone. Good morning, Cecil. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. And a very dapper Wes Collins in the studio this morning. Good morning, Wes.
Dress for court.
Dress for success. Dress for court.
Wes is always dressed for court.
That's right. And dressed
that's
for,
a good thing. That's what we do.
Well, yes. Gentlemen, we've talked about a lot of topics over the past 3 weeks, and I think Wes wants to reiterate a deadline that's looming very near having regards to damage inflicted from Hurricane Florence. So once again, Wes.
Yeah, Mike, do want to hit on that, and then I think we're going to hear in a little bit after we talk about that issue with Hurricane Florence, go back to a conversation we were having several weeks ago regarding attorney's fees, and we ran out of time on that. I think at the end of that show, that program, we were talking about how what you have to do to collect those if you're in a litigation posture, if like to get those back, mm-hmm. if you win the case or whatever that circumstance may be. And I have been talking with Sam Morris at our office, and then Cecil and Andrew, our other attorneys, about the fact that, you know, we really need to let folks know that the statute of limitations relative to any claims relating to Florence expires here in about 2 weeks. It's really September 13th would be the absolutely drop-dead date. I think that September 12th, 3 years ago, is when we actually started having effects mm-hmm. From Florence. That's a Sunday. The way the statute of limitations works is that if it falls on a Sunday, you have until the next Monday, unless it's a legal holiday. So I guess that's not a legal holiday, so it would be that Monday. But we're really getting all of the either tolling agreements or lawsuits filed that we're dealing with currently, and we've had a whole lot, a rush on them lately, of folks whose claims aren't finished yet. We're filing those by September the 10th. If we had an emergency situation, we could do it by that 11, 12, 13 being that Monday. So basically what folks need to know about that is that if they have any type of insurance claim or any kind of claim relating to usually insurance or relating to Florence or a loss from Florence, and that claim is not resolved yet, meaning you could be an appraisal. That's the process where, under the terms of the policy, the one party picks an appraiser, the other picks an appraiser, they pick an umpire, and they try to work it out. It's kind of like a alternative dispute resolution. But if that is not completed yet, you're putting yourself at a real disadvantage if you don't get an attorney to either get a tolling agreement for you to extend the statute of limitations or file your lawsuit, your summons and complaint on or before that 3 year date hits. Because think, you know, if your appraisal doesn't go the way you want it to go, then the insurance company knows that.
Yeah.
They know that you're not in a position to be able to sue. So, you know, that puts you at a real disadvantage. It's not only if you're in an appraisal, it could be in any circumstance. If you've recently found out that there are other problems related to the storm, such as something further has been discovered, like there's mold in the walls or there's something that got covered up that should have been part of the claim or whatever it may be. If the insurance company, the carrier, the adjuster, is your agent, is telling you, oh, it'll be okay, we'll take care of it, but it's not taken care of, you are putting yourself at a big disadvantage. You're putting yourself at a big disadvantage if you don't preserve your rights, either by getting a lawyer to get the tolling agreement or by filing a lawsuit. Now, the difference between those is interesting. I do want to mention briefly, in some circumstances when we're dealing with a single carrier, it's not that difficult to get a tolling agreement. And that's just a written contract, basically, that mm-hmm. extends out the statute of limitations. But in some policies, there are multiple underwriters. We had one recently that we took in to help basically a claim that was, they were hundreds of thousands of dollars off, and it didn't look like appraisal was going to get done in time. So initially we were talking about a tolling agreement, and then upon further evaluation of the situation involving the case, we found that this particular policy had I think it was either 15 or 16, might have been 17 underwriters.
Wow.
So we would have had to, in order to secure their rights, get a tolling agreement from all of those, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18, because of the policyholder or the policy, the carrier themselves as well, a tolling agreement. And that just was a non-starter, given the fact that we started on this like 10 days ago. Mm. So we've prepared the complaint. We'll file it and preserve the rights. And interestingly, now that the carrier has been put on notice of that, knows that we're going down that path, and the public adjuster who's involved has let the carrier know that. Lo and behold, yesterday we found out that they communicated now an interest to settle it for a whole lot more.
Interesting.
Okay.
Huh? Yeah.
It's just knowing how the system works and knowing that you know when your rights are at an end as it relates to, you know, taking these matters to court, the insurance company is not, I mean, they're going to use that against you if they can. If we've come this far and it hasn't been reasonably settled thus far, I mean, obviously,
yeah,
they're going to use that against you. So, again, big message to folks out there listening. Anyone who knows of anybody who has a claim that's outstanding, that's not resolved yet, pass this information along to them, and get them to give us a ring. I don't say that very often here. We normally say, you know, just contact an attorney, you know, and get them to work on whatever it is. But what I'm hearing is there's not a whole lot of law firms who are dealing with these last minute claims.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you really need to be in the know with regard to them. You need to understand the ins and outs of this. You need to understand what the complaint needs to include. You need to understand what parties need to be named as defendants, these underwriters,
sure,
for example. And getting all that together for, you know, if you're an attorney who hasn't really handled one of these before, getting all that together here in basically 6 or 7 or 8 working days is probably not a good idea. But
yeah,
given the fact that we're right in the middle of this and you know, got a lot of the work done, because we've dealt with so many of these before, we know exactly what to do. So it's just one of those kind of things, ounce of prevention. You know, you got to stay ahead of this type of,
yeah,
situation, because there's really no cure to you being behind the statute of limitations and then having a problem with regard to what the insurance company is willing to pay. Because if you file a lawsuit on that, it's going to get dismissed,
mm-hmm,
because of statute of limitations. So,
yeah, and that window shuts September 13th.
It does.
There's no latitude,
yep,
latitude there.
So word to the wise, word to the listeners, word to friends, family, so on and so forth. We all know people out there who, mm-hmm, have been caught in this situation. So that's the only – we've come to this point. We're kind of at the,
yeah,
bottom of the funnel now.
Yeah,
so,
it's close.
So let's get that message out there to folks.
It's funny, Wes and Cecil, I had a conversation with an individual just in casual conversation where he's living now, and there's and remarked, I'm still waiting to get settled on our damage done by Florence. And we had the conversation, and he was kind of reaching a dead end. I said, you need to call Harvell and Collins. I said, they've been working on this type of work for a long time. They know the ins and outs of it. And I believe he did call your firm this past week about his home over in the ocean area, Bogue area,
right,
of Carteret County. So there's people out there that are afflicted by Florence but really don't know which way to go. My advice would be call Harvell and Collins at 252-726-9050. So, Cecil?
I'm listening to all of this, and of course, it, you know, Mike goes back to a long time ago when we first started this radio program. I'm going to go off on a little bit of a different way for a moment, but you know, we're so very proud to be to be lawyers, and then to be able to communicate to our communities and to our community certain legal issues that we think they need to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there is more to practicing law than just simply being in the office every day collecting an attorney fee. Lawyers should take their profession seriously and give back. And many, many, many lawyers do. They are leaders in pro bono organizations, you know, whatever they might be, Habitat for Humanity, mm-hmm, so many great organizations. And of course, the radio program here gives Harvell and Collins an opportunity to give back, and to share information, to demystify, to explain, to allow people to call in with a question. So we feel really fortunate to have you, Mike, and your team there at the radio station to allow us to come on here once a week and be able to, and to be able to give back. And so, it's a good thing all the way around.
Well, I think,
and this is information concerning Florence, concerning this deadline that is upon us, that is directly linked to our community, to the listening radius of people that listen to the program, as you know, Onslow, Craven, into Jones County, Pamlico, Carteret. And so they are hearing this information, and it is something that they need to know about and share with their families and friends and things of that nature. So thank you, Mike.
Well, thank you, Cecil and Wes. And, you know, the listeners that are listening today, the Florence won't be the last storm that hits our area just because of where we are positioned. So take note of this and learn from this. And the, and as Wes mapped out the time frame on such claims, it'll probably happen again. We hope not, but it probably will.
Right.
In reality.
Well, and also needs to be noted, I think, that, you know, this word litigation file lawsuit is a mystery to a lot of people. And, you know, it doesn't mean that once you file the lawsuit that all of a sudden there's no more communication with the insurance company. No, quite to the contrary. In most cases, in the event that you file the lawsuit and you preserve your rights, you continue to deal with the insurance company and try to work it out.
Yep.
But you're holding your place at the table by filing that lawsuit. And you are negotiating, so to speak, from a place of strength as opposed to a place of weakness. And that is something that you just cannot let happen to yourself and your family, to let that pass in the event that your claim has not been resolved.
Let's take a break on that note. And if callers, if you have questions about your claim, call now, 252-222-4848. When we come back, we touched on this subject a few shows ago about attorney fees and how to reclaim fees in the case of a lawsuit that you won. We'll unpack that and get some more details on how that all works. We'll be right back after this short timeout. Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. On the phone with us is Cecil Harvell. In studio is Wes Collins. You can join the conversation by calling 252-222-4848 for some free legal advice. And if you want to reach the firm after the show, call 252-726-9050. So, gentlemen, who wants to take up the task of explaining in a lawsuit that you win, how is it possible? Is it possible to get your legal fees back to you, reimbursed? I guess is the lack of a better word.
Right. We started this topic back several weeks ago, and then intended to get back to it, I think, the following week, and then I ended up being in court somewhere, I believe. But so we talked about, of course, the different kinds of attorney's fees. First of all, you know, contingency fee, a percentage of the recovery. And hourly, you know, based on the hours that you spend, could be a flat fee. This is how much it'll cost to do this. So we went over that. But then we got into the issue of collecting your fees in a litigation or quasi-litigation context. You know, if you find yourself in a lawsuit, then who's responsible for the fees and the cost? Okay. And when we say cost, what does that mean? Cost means basically what we're having to pay the court reporter for depositions, what we're having to pay potentially for production of some type of records. Let's say we're subpoenaing records from a bank. It's 1,000 documents, and they want to charge us $75 to make those copies and send them to us. That's a cost. These types of things. Expert witness fees. We have to have a medical expert. They're going to charge us thousands of dollars. That's a cost. Could be a handwriting expert, you know, that's an expert witness. That costs money. So these things are cost. And then the attorney's fees or the fees are what the attorney charges. So generally in North Carolina, each side has to pay their own freight. That's the way that goes. And the assumption by a lot of folks is that if you win, you also get your attorney's fees. Well, that's an incorrect assumption. Usually you have to pay your freight, pay the attorney's fees, your own cost, all the way through the litigation. And That's even if you're defending the case. I mean, obviously, if you're defending the case, you're in a much different position because you haven't asked for this. Yeah. You just got sued.
Got slapped with the papers.
Okay, and you probably need an attorney to defend your rights in almost all circumstances. So what happens at the end once you've incurred these attorney's fees and these costs as it relates to recovering those? That's kind of the question for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first thing to say about that is the only basis in North Carolina to collect your attorney's fees and or cost in litigation is you have to have a statute. There has to be a particular statute on point. We have our North Carolina general statutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's codified and has, you know, all the statutes dealing with all types of things. It'd be criminal, civil, civil, you know, special proceedings, foreclosures, partitions, estates. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And in particular areas, there are methods by which you can recover attorney's fees by order of the court, but you have to have a statute.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go through a couple of those. One of them is non-justiciable claim. That means that if a party brings a claim that really is non-justiciable, meaning a claim that doesn't have merit, a claim that should not have been brought, for example, some of the most direct cases on this would be as to statute of limitations. We've talked about statute of limitations earlier this morning with regard to Florence. But if you bring a claim that is barred by the statute of limitations, and you're put on notice that this barred by the statute of limitations, and you continue to advance that claim and don't dismiss it, then we have very strong precedent in North Carolina that the plaintiff who's advancing that claim through their attorney, almost all cases, is going to be responsible for reasonable costs and attorney's fees for defending that claim. There's a case called Sun America is the case, and it deals with that specifically. It lays it all out, and that is the best example I can think of because it's such a clear example of bringing a non-justiciable claim, bringing a claim you shouldn't have brought because it was barred, okay? And you're making me spend money on this case. You know it. It's barred, but you still won't dismiss it. Okay, the court doesn't like that.
Yeah.
And the court has the power to allow the defendant to get attorney's fees because there was not a good faith position with regard to that of advancing the claim. That's one of them.
Okay.
Another one that comes to mind under the rules of civil procedure, Rule 11. If you make allegations in a pleading that are not well grounded in fact, meaning you're making an allegation to categorically false,
mm-hmm.
or you are making allegations that is not well grounded in law or reasonable extension of the law. This is also very similar to non-justiciable claim, but under mm-hmm. Rule 11, an attorney can bring a motion under Rule 11 for their attorney's fees to be paid.
Is that kind of like a frivolous lawsuit?
Yep. And so is non-justiciable.
Yeah.
Very, very similar. There's some distinctions there, but very similar. So those are a couple of the items. In a will caveat case, we have a statute. Very interesting. This is a little different than most. And as you know, we deal with a lot of will caveats at Harvell and Collins because we do so much litigation and we do so much estate work. In a will caveat, you have a particular statute that allows the trial judge to tax cost and attorney's fees to either side, okay? Even if you lose, you could get your cost and attorney's fees if your claim had substantial merit. So that's a possibility, meaning you have challenged this will. You think that this is not what the loved one wanted, or it was through undue influence or lack of capacity. If the court finds that you had substantial merit then, meaning you brought it in good faith, then the court could allow you to get some, if not all, of your attorney's fees, either from the estate or from the other party. I haven't seen that happen yet, okay? Yep. I've seen the motions, but I have not seen a losing party in a caveat get their attorney's fees.
Very rare.
Yep.
Very rare.
But that statute also operates to allow for the prevailing party to get their attorney's fees. So if you're the caveator, meaning the one that you're challenging, you're the one challenging, and you win your case, you're in a pretty strong position to be able to get your attorney's fees too. Okay? Or if you are the propounder, the person saying, no, I'm defending against this challenge, and you win, you're in a pretty strong position as well. So that is one of the areas where there's a specific statute that allows it to go either way, and it's not contingent necessarily upon winning, but winning obviously helps.
Sure does. Let's take a break on that note. We'll come back with our closing segment of Harvell and Collins. Let's Talk Legal. You can reach them after the show. Call 252-726-9050. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. Cecil, we have about 2 minutes left in today's show. I'll leave it up to you or Wes to close out today's program.
Well, I think just in listening to Wes's explanation, which were really good ones, you know, we need to make it clear that each of those areas that Wes was speaking about, those, of course, are the exception to the rule. The general rule in North Carolina and I might say American jurisprudence is that each party pays their own way, and that the recovery of attorney fees against the losing party is just simply not the general rule. Then, of course, there are these very good exceptions to the general rule, which Wes has been speaking about. But we do get this question all the time, and so I'm not all that has come up in our conversation a few weeks ago and again today, because one of the questions we get right out of the gate, in fact today, I have a file where is being referred to Wes from me on clients, and that's one of their questions that they emailed me last night is, can we get her to pay the attorney fees when we win? So here we go. Today we'll be explaining the general rule to those particular clients. But again, the general rule is you cannot recover your attorney fees unless it falls within one of these very clear exceptions.
Now, real quickly, if you have a contract, a promissory note, something like that, where the contract allows you to get attorney's fees, that's a place where you get them too. Normally capped at 15% of the total amount due. Okay, so if it's a $100,000 promissory note, $15,000 will be the most you can get for your attorney's fees, for example. But that falls under the statute as well.
Because it never hurts to ask either, does it?
Well, we always ask for them.
Yeah.
And we get them quite often, but not every case, because the law doesn't support it every time.
And it's nice to have optimistic clients. They know they're going to win, and can we get our attorney fees?
<That's nice. laughs> Glad they've already decided that.
Well, when you've saddled up with Harvell and Collins, most times you do win. And reach out today to Harvell and Collins, 252-726-9050. Go online to harvellandcollins.com.